Galatians chapter number 5, verses 22 and 23. I don't know where everybody's at tonight, but we know they're not here. We began last week looking at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which contain the fruit of the Spirit in 9 different facets. We looked at one of those last week, love. And what we said is that if we are saved, we are truly a child of God through faith in Christ. The Spirit lives inside of us, producing this fruit in us. And one part of this fruit, it's not plural, it's singular, one part of this fruit is love. And so every born-again believer has the Spirit in them, producing in them love. Love for God and love for the people of God. And we learned that the standard of love that we are to have, or the standard of love that is being produced in us, is the same love in which Christ loved us. And so we are to love God and we are to love each other the way that Christ has loved us, or God has loved us, and that is what we are to do. And that should be growing and happening in some degree in every born-again believer. Tonight we'll move forward and look at the aspect of this fruit of joy. So let's pray and then we'll read the text again and then we'll say some things about it. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word that we are preparing to read. And we feel the weight of it upon us and the truthfulness of it and the authority of it over and above us. So God, help us to be submissive to it. Help us to receive it. And help us to understand it, that we may know and give you greater glory. May that be true in every sense, we pray and we ask. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verse 22. But that's the contrast between the works of the flesh that were presented right before the fruit of the Spirit. There are works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that's God's word, and all God's people said. Now, as we look at joy tonight, it is toward the front of the list, right beside love. And what we need to understand is joy for the believer is important. You know, life is hard. I was thinking this afternoon how difficult and how trying and troublesome life is. And that's a biblical understanding of life, right? Job said, man is of what? Few days and what? Much trouble. So life is full of troubles, life is full of trials. Life is full of difficulties that make it very hard for us to maintain joy. These things that happen in our life are things that happen and they rob us or they diminish our joy. When you take the context of those that Paul is writing to here, they're in the midst of persecution. church despised by the world. And it would seem that it would be inappropriate to tell a body of believers that are going through persecution that they need to rejoice. It doesn't seem to be an appropriate admonition to give at that particular time, but that's exactly what they needed. Say amen. The Bible says we should rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. So how do I rejoice always when I have a life full of troubles and trials and hardships? Well, the way we do that is that the Spirit that lives inside of us produces that, so that our joy is not in the circumstances, but our joy is being produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so even in our troubles, even in our trials, even in our afflictions, even in our problems, believers have joy. Now, I have to examine this a little bit so we can understand it a little bit more. So let me sort of try to do that under three headings, and we'll begin with the source of joy. The source of joy. Now, I want to say something, and I hope that you'll understand what I'm going to say. And I think we need to understand this. There is no true, lasting joy apart from the Lord. Now, the world believes that there is joy apart from Christ. The world believes that they can have joy and they can have gladness, and that can be found in false gods and in pursuits other than Christ. But I'm here to tell you that there is no real lasting joy in any earthen treasure. The world believes that real joy can be produced in a life of self-centeredness without God, without Christ, and without the Word of God. However, the only true joy that there is for a regenerate, sanctified child of God is the joy of Jesus Christ. There is no joy outside of Him. And isn't that what sin is? When we sin, haven't we thought very foolishly in our minds that we can find joy without God? Isn't that why I sin? I'm going to find pleasure and joy and happiness in this which is outside of God. How foolish it is to think that way. There's no joy to be found without God being at the center of it. It is why sin will bring us only misery and death apart from Christ and His Word. And although the world portrays a life of godlessness and unrighteousness as being the source of joy, it really only is a life that leads to misery and death. I have learned from my own battles with sin. Don't you battle sin? I've learned from my own battles with sin that there is no true, genuine, lasting joy apart from the Lord. Nothing lasts. There is no joy for those who hide their sin and refuse to repent of their sin. There is no joy while we walk in sin. No joy in covering up our sin. So the fruit of the joy, our fruit of joy, is found only in the Lord. True joy has its only source in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who Himself is the joy of the Father. And Christ was joyful while He performed the will of the Father. Christ counted it a joy to redeem His people from sin by His own shedding of blood. And it is the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit of joy, and it is joy in Christ, in God's people. The problem is, if Christ doesn't make you joyful, right? you probably don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Say amen. Because that's the kind of joy that the Holy Spirit is producing in you. It's not a grin and bear it type thing. It's joy in Christ. That's the kind of joy that He's producing in us. And that kind of joy is insulated from circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. Because if I'm joyful in Christ, He never changes. And so the things that I go through can't change that joy. I can be very unjoyful about my day-to-day situations and circumstances, but the joy that the Spirit produces in me is a joy in Jesus Christ. So what is the source of our joy? Christ. Christ. Number two, I want to talk about the spirituality of joy. And what I mean by that is that the joy we have produced in us by the Holy Spirit in Christ are spiritual realities and not necessarily physical realities. Does that make sense? And spiritual things are not temporal and not fleeting. The joys that we have here on earth, the joys that we produce in and of ourselves, are things that last for a moment and then they're gone. They have no permanence. They have no lasting to them. It really is, the joy that we have here on earth is really superficial joy. It's only here for a moment and then it's quickly fades away. It's not what the Spirit produces in us is not a mere emotional excitement. It's not a joy that makes us feel good about ourselves. It's not a hollow joy that is rooted in our own works and a supposed self-righteousness without any foundation. It's not any of those things that have no foundation whatsoever. If I find joy in what I do, that's not the joy the Spirit of God produces. If I find joy in some emotional, exciting event, that's not Spirit-produced joy. If I find joy in superficial things or things that are temporal and fleeting, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. And there are some church services that are all about these things, these exciting things that aren't really produced by the Spirit at all. Say amen. So, the joy that is produced in believers is the knowledge and the conviction of the truth of our God. The primary reason for joy in our hearts, produced by the Spirit, is that God, who is revealed to us, is a great God. He is a powerful God. He is a majestic God. And we delight in God because He is God. Say amen. And so the Spirit's producing this joy. Joy in who? Joy in Christ. Joy in God. And the more we hear about Him, the more we learn about Him, the more we are exposed to the teaching of Him, the more we find our joy in Him and not in the things on this earth. So we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's God. We rejoice in the Lord because He is our Creator. We have joy in Him because He is the God of our salvation. We are His creation in Christ. We rejoice because Christ has removed from us the curse that we deserve because of our sin. We rejoice in Him. We rejoice that Christ became for us a man of sorrows, that He was acquainted with grief, that He received God's wrath on the cross. We rejoice because we understand that because Christ became a man of sorrow, we can become people of joy. We rejoice to know that the Lord joyfully gave Himself for us. We rejoice that even faced with being forsaken, Jesus said yes. We rejoice for the deliverance that we have in and through Christ from eternal misery of our sin and the right we have in Him for eternal joy with the Father. I did not mention not one single thing that was of physical essence in that particular point, because the joy that the Spirit produces in us that is in God is all spiritual. That's where our joy rests, in the spiritual reality of what we have in Christ, in the spiritual reality of who God is. It's not that we have joy that God is going to get us out of this trouble, this problem, this difficulty. It's the joy we have that when all of this is over, we will be with Him for eternity. No one can take that from us. Our sins are gone, paid for by Christ on the cross. We can have joy because of His work. That's where the joy of the Spirit produces that in us, in those spiritual things. And we have this habit of wanting to take everything in the Bible and making a physical application of it. And let me tell you why that's hard to do. Because if that's true, then God has to apologize for thousands and millions of Christians who have died as martyrs. Why didn't God get them off the burning stake? But you see, this is how those who were tied to the stake and were set on fire left this world singing hymns about Him. How could that be? I thought about that for years. How can they dying and burning? One way I don't want to go. I don't want to go burning. Say amen. Don't want to go drowning. And I don't want to die through suffocation being buried alive. Say amen. I would like to die in my sleep. Let me go ahead and put that in. How can someone being burned to death on the stake lift up their eyes and sing hymns, sing Amazing Grace about God, because in them was the Holy Spirit producing fruit of joy in Jesus Christ and in the promises of Him. That's what it was. They weren't thinking about physical existence. They were thinking about what awaited for them in glory and the truth that made it all possible in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. So no matter what happens in this life, the Spirit produces in us joy in Christ, in the things that Christ has performed for us as far as our salvation. Say amen. Then number three. Man, I may get done early tonight. The substance of joy. Now, what we find is that this joy that is produced in us by the Spirit of God in the person of Christ, according to the work of Christ for us, means, if it's happening, that the promises of Scripture are for us. His church. Do you get that? If I have this love for, or this joy in Christ, if I have this joy in what the Lord has done for me as far as saving me and sanctifying me and future glorification, if I have joy in that, That means the Spirit lives inside of me, and the promises that God has made are for me. So, will God care for us? Yes. Does He not care for His people? Does He not care for His children? Is Christ not our shepherd? And as our shepherd, is it not true that we who are His sheep will lack absolutely nothing? That doesn't work unless you're a sheep. And you ain't a sheep unless you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you producing this kind of joy. Is Christ not our great high priest who knows our tribulations and constantly seeks from the Father and obtains for us grace that is sufficient for each and every day? Is He not our refuge and rest in the times of trouble? Has He not carried you through fires and floods in this life? Has He not shown Himself to be ever merciful and gracious? So rejoice that you have the Lord. And because you have the Lord, you lack absolutely nothing. Is that true? Take away everything earthly. If you still have the Lord, you still have everything you need. Rejoice in that. That's where that joy comes in. We have the Lord. He is our shepherd. He is our high priest. He is our God. I have everything I need in Him. Therefore, I joy. We have the sure promise that God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say amen. As the church, together, we have the privilege to serve God together in the fellowship of the saints. Having saved us, having redeemed us, God has given us the privilege to be His servants. He gives us the privilege to spend ourselves for the cause of the kingdom. Say amen. He gives us that privilege to work together in church to proclaim the gospel. He gives us the privilege to witness in our daily life of the greatness and the grace of God. And Christ declares His love for the church, doesn't He? And it is in the church and it is through the church that God gives us grace and goodness. He declares our justification. He assures us of eternal life. He works in us a growing faithfulness and a life of thankfulness. He grows these things in us. Rejoice, rejoice that the word of the Lord is powerful to save and powerful to comfort our hearts. And the promises that God makes to His people are not shaky, they are not uncertain, they are not man-dependent possibilities. God's promises are rock solid in the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. Rejoice that you are one of them. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world proclaims. We find joy in that we are children of God. And it may be hard now. It may be difficult now. It may be dicey now. But let me tell you something. When He comes back, we are going to spend eternity in glory with Him. There's our joy. Not in stuff here. Not in difficulties here. In Him there. And even now, Do you joy in this? That no matter what happens in your life, we joy in the fact of the promise of God who says He's working all things together for our good. Who gets that? Who gets that promise that everything that comes into your life has been ordained by God for your good? For your spiritual good. Who gets that? Just His sheep. You see, nothing happens in your life, nothing unfolds in your life without real divine purpose. God sovereignly governs and fulfills every detail of your life, and He does it. He does it with the goal of your good. God never says, "My bad." I remember one of the first times I heard that was from a waitress. She messed up the order and she said, "My bad." I said, "Okay." God never says, "My bad." Because God does all things for His people for their good. Joy in that! So here's a question. How can a believer, how can we rejoice when we are persecuted? How can we rejoice or how can we have joy when we go through tribulations? How can we rejoice as children of God when we are going through the troubles and the trials of this life? How can we have joy when our spouses are taken away, when our children are taken away? How can we be joy when our health is taken away? How can we rejoice when we become sick and ill or we come near death or death itself? And what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is that it's humanly impossible to maintain joy. And sometimes we get that wrong. You ought to have joy. It's humanly impossible for me to go through the things of my life and have joy always. Except that the Spirit of God is living in me. And that the Spirit of God is producing in me the fruit of the Spirit, which includes joy. Joy in Christ. Joy in the work of God for me. Joy in the promises that are mine as His child. There's where our joy is. And should not the world see that? How do you have joy? They should ask us, how do you have joy? How are you so joyful as you go through these difficult things in life? Why are you not throwing up your hands and giving up? Why do you just keep being faithful and keep having joy? You tell them, because my joy is not in earthly things and not in earthly situations and circumstances. It's not in gaining or loss. It's in Christ and what He's done for me. To save me. He rescued me from hell. He rescued me from damnation. He took me and put me on a solid rock. I'm His. And He has made me tremendous, awesome, unbelievable promises that He fulfills every single time. That's how I have joy. That's where my joy is. That's joy produced by the Spirit, impossible for me to manufacture. Now, we can grin and bear it. We can put on a facade face, but deep in our heart, we know there's no joy there except spiritual joy produced by the Spirit. in Christ, His work, and in His promises. And I want to say this. If you have the Spirit of God in you, He will have His way with you. Let me say that again. If you have the Spirit of God in you, He will have His way with you. He is not having some cosmic battle with our flesh. No. He is God. The Spirit is God. He has no problem overcoming the flesh. And so the Spirit that lives in me will have His way with me, in me, and through me. And if that's true, I should have joy. I should have love. The way God loved us, I should have joy. Not in earthly things or earthly people, but in Christ, in His work for me, and in His promise to me. So whatever happens, bad things happen, the Spirit starts producing this joy. So that even though I am unjoyful in the situation, I have spiritual joy in Christ. Amen. And that keeps us going, and that gives us confidence, and that makes these things real to us. Amen? Again, the reason this is not true for many is that the Spirit of God is absent in their hearts. Because the Spirit of God only lives in us if we have, by faith, trusted in Christ alone for our salvation. But if He's in me, there will be joy produced in me as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You for Your Word tonight. For the joy that it brings to us. For the comfort it brings to us. Help us to remember these truths that while there are things that happen in our life and life is hard and life is difficult and the difficulty and the tryingness of our life make it impossible for us to rejoice in the Lord always. It's not impossible for the Spirit to produce this joy in us and so that we would truly joy in Him. We would joy in Christ. Our rejoicing would be on Him and the work that He has performed for us, His substitutionary atonement for us. We joy in that truth that He died for us on the cross, that He was forsaken for us on the cross, that He was buried and that He was received by God and resurrected by the power of God for us. And that every promise given to His children, include me and include you because we are Your children. So even though there are things that would make it impossible for us to rejoice in our souls, in our hearts, we joy in the spiritual things that we have in Christ and we joy in them. And we rejoice in them for the glory of God. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen.